Today we're considering the matter, the perfect Father. The perfect Father. Before we begin this morning, let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reminders, even from this skit on the video, that we have a responsibility to be a model, to be an example to those of our kids. They're looking up to us, they're following our example, and I just pray that we might in some small way point them to the perfect Father. Though we make mistakes, though we fail them, still may we remind our children and those whom we impact that you make no mistakes. You are the true Heavenly Father, the perfect Father. Guide us in our thoughts together this morning, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Where do you find a perfect father? As I was thinking this morning, I can't wait to call my dad in upstate New York. My dad is my hero. My dad is someone that I look up to. I spent a lot of time growing up working together with him. He was a great role model to me. He was a man's man, and yet he was humble. He drove a bulldozer, and yet he was very tender-hearted. He lived in upstate New York and still does, and I'm amazed at all he could do. I wish I had spent more time learning how to fix things like he does. But sports was on my mind, and all kinds of other things were on my mind at the time. But I thank God for him. He's 81 next month, and I look forward to seeing him. I have not seen him in 3 years. And so when we go back for the wedding, I get to see my dad again and spend some time with him. Talk to him every week, but I look up to my dad. But you know what? As much as I think he is my hero and I love him dearly, he was not perfect as well. In fact, as I think about looking through the New Testament, the Old Testament especially, I find if you were to look for the perfect father among the Bible characters, you would be sadly mistaken, and you would not be able to find one of them that did really an outstanding job of raising their children. The Bible has more to say about bad dads than it does to say about good and honorable dads. There is no perfect fathers among the men mentioned in the Bible. The list of father failures serve us as a reminder that only one father is perfect, God, our Heavenly Father. He is our truly perfect Father. If I was to write a book today about parenting, it would be this. I was a good parent or father until I had kids. And then I learned how difficult it really was. And so fathers, you know what that's all about. We know all the answers until we end up having a child and we run into difficulties. But I thank God for His patience with me, though I disciplined sometimes in anger, though I did not listen to my kids at times like I should or was as patient as I should have been. I thank God for His example being the perfect Father for me. Right theology about God being our Father is crucial to our Christian walk. In the Sunday school hour or the life group hour, we were talking about how our view of God affects every area of our life. And I really believe that. And so this morning, I want to paint a picture for you of a perfect Heavenly Father that we can go to, that we can trust our lives with. And so that's what my goal this morning, to paint that kind of picture for you. Our perception of God affects everything about us. How would you describe our perfect Heavenly Father? I've used the acrostic Father to help with that. And so hopefully as we fill in these blanks, and fathers especially, as you see how perfect our Heavenly Father is, may we only use this as a standard that we can look up to and say, I want to be like Him. I want Him to be my model, and I strive to do everything I can to be a better father. So let's look at the acrostic together. First, the F in Father stands for family focused. Family focused. I love hearing from my boys. I love it when I get a text. In fact, in the morning, I look up and I'm kind of hoping there'll be a text or an email or a phone call that comes in from my boys, or a Skype even, a note, hey, let's Skype together. But you know what? What I enjoy the most is when I see them in person, when they come and they spend time with me and we talk together and we find out what's going on in each other's life. Well, our Heavenly Father, He is desirous of our interaction. He wants our intimacy. He wants our attention. He is the involved Father. Look at Matthew 5 and verse 16. If you've got your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 5. And notice there before us in our text, it says this. Well, start with verse 14 of chapter 5. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And so I love the terminology that is used not only in verse 16, but also in chapter 6, verse 26, that refers to our Father as our Heavenly Father, showing that intimacy that He desires, that we have as followers of Jesus Christ through faith in His Son. Matthew chapter 6, and we read in verses 5 through 13, the instruction on how we are to pray. It says, Our Father who art in heaven. Again, we're to come to God as we would to our Father and tell Him our requests, tell Him our needs, but we can go to our Father at any time. The purpose of the Our Father in the Word of God is not so that we use it as a portion of Scripture that we repeat to the point where we're almost nauseous, but it's given us a structure that we go to Him as our Heavenly Father. I was in a conversation with an elderly woman this last week at Bickford. I believe she's 93 years of age. She served in the Marines, a small woman, but I'm thinking, wow, I got to watch out for her. Maybe she's got some good defense tactics I need to be careful of. But she is just expressing. She doesn't have much of a voice left. She's a very soft-spoken woman. But she says, I've got to talk to you after the service. And so she pulled me aside and she says, I'm kind of forgetting things. And she said, Chaplain Mark, I'm frustrated because I can't remember all the Lord's Prayer. And so I just reassured her. I said, you know, even if you can't parrot the words of that prayer, that was not the intent that God had. He wants us to pray to Him. If you can only remember, Our Father, help me. Our Father, I need your strength today. Then that's what He wants. He wants your heart. He wants you to come to Him. He wants for you to express what's on your heart. She was very encouraged by that. Because as I was repeating and talking and reading the Lord's Prayer to her, she was mouthing some of the words to me, but she was frustrated because she couldn't remember them all. But how nice it is to know that we have a Heavenly Father that knows the concerns of our heart. God welcomes us into His presence, especially through prayer. Romans chapter 8, in the next verse before us, I don't know if there's some other things on that particular slide there that tell us, but He's attentive and we need to pray to Him. But the next slide gives us Romans 8, verses 15 and 16. Notice what it says. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And so as children of God, because the Holy Spirit comes to reside within us, to live within us, those of us who know Christ as Savior, we have the opportunity, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit, that we can call Him our Father and we can express what is on our needs. And when we can't express it fully, He is there to help us to do that. Galatians, the next slide, and verse chapter 4 and verse 6, and because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts so that we can cry out, Abba, Father, or Abba, Daddy. The Holy Spirit enables us to communicate with Him. God wants us to come. Our God is family focused. Second, or the letter A in our acrostic, our Heavenly Father, our perfect Father, is all-knowing and provides the best. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 32, it tells us, your Heavenly Father knows what you have need of. Now that doesn't mean that we can't go to Him in prayer or we don't express it in prayer. He still wants to hear from Him. There have been times when I wanted my boys to come to me and tell me what was on their hearts, tell me what their needs were. I knew some of their needs, but I wanted them to express it to me personally. I longed to provide for their needs. But I think of our Heavenly Father, that's exactly, He knows exactly what I need. He's all-knowing. Sometimes I provide what is not so good for my children. I think it's best, but it may not be what's the most helpful. But our Heavenly Father knows what is exactly best for us. Even though our earthly fathers may have failed us, our Heavenly Father wants to protect us and give us good things. Earlier in the reading of Scripture, Luann read the portion where in James chapter 1, where it says, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Every gift that God gives is good, and even the way He gives and what He gives is best for us. In the next verse in Matthew chapter 7, it tells us the matter of we try to give what's good for our children. In fact, turn into Matthew chapter 7, okay, in your Bibles. Matthew 7 and verses 9 through 11. Let's begin with verse 7. Matthew 7, 7. Ask and it shall be given to you. We're to go to the Lord and ask. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks it will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will you give him a serpent? Will you try to trick him? You try to surprise him? No, it says, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask? We also read in Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 through 31, are not two sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father knowing it? And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid, you are worth more than many sparrows. So here we find again that our Heavenly Father knows all and He provides what's best for us. In our acrostic, not only is our perfect Heavenly Father family focused, all-knowing, and the provider of what's best. Third, the T, He trains us and corrects us for our good. He trains us and corrects us for our good. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12 for a moment. Hebrews chapter 12. And there we find in verses 7 through 11, we see again a picture of how our Heavenly Father trains us and disciplines us and corrects us. Notice what it says here. For it is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them. But He disciplines us for our good, that we may share His holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, and later on it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So this term discipline has the idea of training, correcting, cultivating, and educating. And my father had to do much of that process with me. I think I was spanked until I was about 13, 14 years of age. I didn't like it at all. But my dad needed to whip the tar out of me at times to stand me up, to help me to know what really is valuable in life. And I'm thankful for that discipline. But discipline is more than just a spanking or correction. It's instructing. It's cultivating. It's helping that person to understand what it really means to be to know in life and what's right and what's best. And so God knows the right mix of all those details together. And so he trains us and corrects us. And oftentimes has to use hard times to discipline us, to bring us back, to correct our steps, to get us back on the right path. So he does what is best. Well, the next in the acrostic, H, he has the heart of compassion and love. The heart of compassion and love. Is there anybody out there that cares about what you're going through? You may ask at times. Do I feel alone at times? Yes. And yet to know that my Heavenly Father cares, casting all of your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Luke chapter 15 is a great chapter that talks about the lost son and the lost coin, and there's another, the lost sheep. And the whole purpose is there to remind us again that we have a Heavenly Father that cares about us, that's compassionate, that will go to great ends to meet our needs and to show His love and care. Psalm 68 and verse 5, I believe it's on the screen next. It says, "The Father, He's the Father of the fatherless and the protector of widows is God in His holy dwelling place." Psalm 103 and verses 13 through 14 tell us this, "As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear Him. For He knows our frame, He remembers that we are but dust." And then there's another wonderful verse of Scripture. Jot this one down. If you wonder if you're loved today by your Heavenly Father, notice this. And I have it in the NIV because I love this particular translation of this verse. "How great is the love the Father has lavished upon us, that we can be called the children of God." What a tremendous privilege. He doesn't just send a little bit of love our way, but He lavishes His love upon us, especially those of us who know Christ as our personal Savior. What a tremendous truth that is. And so again, maybe if you had an earthly father that let you down, that disappointed you, I know that a number of people talk with me about some of their alcoholic dads or their absentee dads. How wonderful to know that even if that was your experience, we have a Heavenly Father that shows His love for us and is compassionate toward us. Well, the next, the letter E, ever perfect in all His ways. If you've ever watched Mary Poppins, she talks about that, ever perfect in, I'm perfect in every way, practically perfect in every way, all right? Well, our God is ever perfect in all of His ways. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48 says, "Be perfect, therefore, as your Heavenly Father is perfect." Don't allow the circumstances of your life to determine how you think about your Heavenly Father. He is perfect in all His ways. Strive to be like Him, especially dads. The context here in Matthew chapter 5 is that of loving others, including our enemies and those who persecute us. The standard is high. We will never reach perfection, those of us that are dads. But we need to strive to be the best fathers that we can be. We need to be like our Heavenly Father. And then last, the R, related to us through Christ. How can we have a relationship with this perfect Heavenly Father? Only through the Lord Jesus Christ. John 14:6 says, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Heavenly Father except through me. What a Heavenly Father we have. What a perfect, good Heavenly Father. Since we have a perfect Heavenly Father like that, what should I do? How should I respond? And that's where I'd like to bring this to a conclusion. Because God is the perfect Father, number one, I should spend time with Him and know Him better. One of the things we're doing in our particular life group this through the summer is talking about the perfections of God. Because if we have a wrong view of God, we're not going to come to Him. We're going to avoid Him. If we're so afraid that God is going to bully us around if we do anything wrong, that does not encourage us to pray or to read the Word to find out more about Him. But we need to know Him better from the Word of God, through His Word and through prayer. Second, because God is the perfect Father, I need to remember that when times get tough, and we all go through those tough times, He is up to something good. I think we need to look beyond the immediate circumstance, beyond the waves that are hitting us and pounding at us, and know that God is up to something good in our lives. He loves me. We need to remember that when we're in the tough things in life, when we're facing the tough times. And we need to also know He knows what's best. He provides what's best, and He always acts in ways that are best. So I should spend time with Him, get to know Him better. I need to remember when the times are tough that He loves me, He has my best in mind. And third, I should always strive to obey Him and please Him. If He truly is a perfect Heavenly Father, which He is, then I need to obey Him and please Him. I'd like to leave you with a few thoughts in closing. C.H. Spurgeon said this, God is too good to be unkind. He is too wise to be confused. If I cannot trace His hand, in other words, if I cannot see what He's doing, what His hand is doing in my life, I can always trust His heart. I have a poster at home that takes a variation of this and says this, our God is too good to be unkind and too wise to make mistakes. Isn't it nice to know that God never says, oops, I got that one wrong, I missed that. No, God always knows what's best, and He always does what is good for us. We've barely touched the surface this morning of who our Father is. We know that He's perfect. He's the Father you always wanted. The great thing is that He is the Father who is available to you. He gladly will accept you into His family as you place your faith and trust in Him. If you're a dad here this morning, I challenge you, be the provider of your family. Protect your children. Give your all. Enthusiastically love your children. Love your wife. Love your family. You need to be there for them. And you need to be an imitator of your Heavenly Father so that when they follow your example, they know that they're following the one who is the perfect example. If you're a dad who needs help, look to your Heavenly Father. He longs to help you. He longs for you to draw near. He is open to your cry. Humble yourselves today before Him. Admit you need Him. Trust Him. And rely on Him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, what a joy to be able to even use those very words as we come before You. May we approach You often. May we bring our every need and our every concern, knowing that You will do what's best for Your glory and for our good. And we thank You in Jesus' precious name. Amen.